We've been going through this series called Expression, the idea that expression is an act or process, an instance of representing something else, being pointed to from something else to somewhere else, right? That whole idea. It's embodied, it's symbolized. So some other words, you know, it's the idea of giving presence to another, to a source. Expression means that there's a source or something that that gets demonstrated throughout. And so that's kind of where what we've been looking at. And how does God express himself? And one of the reasons why I've been motivated to do this is because often, over the last number of months in particular, people will have these conversations where people say, I don't really think that God cares. I don't really think that God is there. I don't think that God is active and real. And so we've kind of looked at this, how does God express himself? Because if God is continually expressing himself, then maybe his role isn't the issue. Maybe there's something with the way that we are looking or processing the world in which we are living. And so we've looked at these different ideas of how God expresses himself continually through the creation, through the Word, through his holy community of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, through his nature of love, which ultimately is exemplified in Jesus Christ. And then last week, we looked at God's continual expression, his extravagant expression to us through his Holy Spirit. His Holy Spirit that he gives us upon the time that we confess Christ, that we acknowledge Christ as our Savior. He says he gives us this deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And he's called the Holy Spirit who will comfort and counsel and help us. And so today we come to the last piece, and maybe there's others. There's probably others, but the last piece of this message, which will propel us, I think, forward, is another expression that God gives to us, to the world in which we live, is the church. Now, when I say the church, I don't mean the church service. When I say the church, I don't mean the church building. When I say the church, I mean the people of God with faith in Jesus Christ who are working together according to his purposes. Us, a church family. God has desired, his desire is to build an expression of himself through the way that we function together. And it's kind of cool, as the Lord would have it, that we get to speak about this idea of God's expression through the church on this day where we kind of just recognize at our annual meeting, we celebrate what God has been doing and what God, and as we prepare for what God will do among us. That's pretty cool to me. And so as we consider some of these things, I just want to kind of briefly share with you, where does this come from? Why do I feel that way? And if, for those of you who are here, maybe in the fall, as we went through the book of Ephesians, there's this passage in Ephesians that I love, and I get to use it a number of times a year when I meet with couples and they're preparing for marriage, and it's in Ephesians chapter 5, and it's a great passage because it speaks of the intensity of God's love for us and describes it through the relationship between a husband and a wife. And Paul says all these things about the need for the husband to sacrificially love their wives and for there to be mutual submission and for the continual cleansing of the word, the purifying that comes as they submit themselves to the word. And it's this picture, and Paul says, I'm speaking about Christ and the church when he does that. So the way that God views the church is the way that a husband ought to view his wife. God's extravagant sacrificial love for his church ought to be demonstrated towards us. And if God loves us as his church that much, that extravagantly, have you ever felt loved? Ever had those moments where you knew without a doubt that you felt loved? What difference does that make in the confidence that you have to act or to not act, to make choices based on that kind of love, that kind of purity of love that seeks to elevate you, seeks to recognize that you have value and that desires the best for you, that selfless kind of love? Have you ever been built up with that? It should compel you then to act because of that love. You can't help it. It's obvious. And when you see a husband and a wife, when they first come together and they realize that they're going to be together for all of their lives, despite what other people might say, especially in our culture, there is a radiance to that love. And there's a desire for them to continue to help each other and to promote the needs of each other as they live and serve together. That's pretty exciting, isn't it? To see that, to recognize that. That's a picture that God gives us. And so, you know, you've heard me say some of these things many times before, and it's something that I'm really excited about and passionate about. I love the idea that God calls us together as a church family. That has been so meaningful to me personally. And I've expressed that in different ways. And so sometimes a different voice is helpful in that. And so over the last year and a half or so, I've gotten to know a gentleman relatively new in our community. I'm going to invite you to come up, Cecil. And so let's just welcome Cecil, Cecil Cogswell. And Cecil comes. Just want you to know his name is spelled C-E-C-I-L. And so I know almost every time I sit down in front of him, I think, is it Cecil or Cecil? And so I said, I just want to make sure in my mind, I've been talking myself through it both times coming up. So I said, I just want to clarify, right? Okay. It's Cecil. And he goes, yeah, it's Cecil. And he says, I just want to clarify. It's D-E-V-E. Is that Dave or Dave? So we're starting out on equal footing.
And we did.
Yeah, yeah. And so Cecil's going to tell you a little bit about who he is and his journey, but if I can just steal a little bit of it. Him and his wife, Jane, have retired to this area a couple of years ago, and he has served in ministry for many years prior to that in different capacities, and I think he'll share a little bit about that. And one of the things that I really appreciate about him is his willingness to say, what can God do with me, and what can God do with the church, and what can God do with our community? And not to maybe stay stuck in patterns that he's been used to. And so love getting to know continual learners. And I think they appreciate that about you and what God's doing with you. And just thank you for sharing a little bit with us.
Thank you, Dave.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I really appreciate Dave's friendship. You know, when you're in the ministry, you may say, well, you've got lots of friends, but typically you don't. You've got lots to do, but not a lot of time for friends. And so it's really great to have someone who is, first of all, you know, in order to have friends, you must show yourself friendly. And so Pastor Dave really does that well. And he's become I know he's going to become an even better friend into the days ahead. And my wife and I, Jane, and we have a couple partners with us as well, Troy and Karen. They have been partnering with us in what we have undertaken here recently to do for the Lord. We were in Mississauga for 27 years in ministry. We went as missionaries, as church planters back in 1987, and we started a church in Mississauga on the shores of Lake Ontario. And we've always loved water, being from the East Coast originally, from New Brunswick. And when we came up this way, we always went searching for water. And one of the most beautiful areas that we came to, since Lake Ontario is really not nice water, it's just cold and rocky, was Lake Huron. And so we would come out here all the time. And so we became very familiar with it, and we often joked with each other, I wonder if God would ever take us out here someday to this beautiful part of the world, really. And he did. And God worked just through a number of different ways and brought us out here in 2014, and without exactly knowing what he wanted us to do. And so, but we were given time to think, and time to pray, and time to consider what God would have us to do. And we just thought, we'd really like to get back to our roots. What do Christians really like to do? And what we really like to do and have loved to do for many years, but sometimes you get caught up in all the work of church life, and it becomes burdensome at times and ordinary. But the real excitement, where is that? And I think that's what we all want to find, don't we? What gets us excited as Christians? And so I'd like to even try to open that topic up a little bit this morning, because it's what gets us all on fire for God and kind of lights us up. I don't think we enjoy being dead, do we? But sometimes we appear that way. You know, we can sit through a church service, catch a nap or two, and, you know, kind of go out feeling pretty good. But that's probably not what we need. We need to be inspired. We need to be challenged. We need to go forth bearing precious seed to make a difference in the world. And at the when it's all said and done, and when we are finished and we are dead, really, for real, we can, from eternity, look back and say, you know, my life was well spent. It was spent doing something that was really worthwhile. Our small group that we're actually engaged with here, we call it the Bridge Gathering. We're just starting, so to speak, a new church with a different concept here. And I've always done traditional church. As a matter of fact, the church was Park Royal Bible Church that I was at in Mississauga. I actually started the church across the street in a community center. We were there for like 12 years. Then we moved across the street, which a church that we became friends with, and the church had gone through a number of splits and issues, and we needed to restart that church in 1990, which we did. We restarted that church, and it's very much like this one. I was looking up saying we had the same roof you do, okay, with that tongue and groove board and the shingles laying right on the top, and it's a real bear to put shingles on that, believe me, because all the electrical is running on the outside. I don't know why they did that. But I experienced that. About 10 years of renovations, rebuilding the ministry and everything, a huge amount of work, and getting that ministry up and on its feet. And then God brought us out here. That job was done. It was time to do something else. And so God, in this time, so to speak, of just going to other churches and listening to what we do as Christians, you start thinking, how could we do this better? You know, you start thinking of all the things that you didn't do. And trying to just say, how could I have done things better, perhaps, in my own ministry for many years? How did we do things when we first started that was different than as time went on? We changed gears and we seemed to gravitate to a certain style of ministries and such. And so I really want to talk to you about the church as an expression of God. And I want to start with 1 John chapter 3. And there's nothing new under the sun here, believe me. I'm not teaching you any great truths this morning. They're all truths that we know, but we just need to be reminded of, perhaps. 1 John 3, how great is the love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. How's that sound? Amazing. That is what we are. I love the NIV. I'm reading from the NIV here. It puts an exclamation mark point, and that is what we are. Have we forgotten what we are? We are the children of the Most High, the children of God. What a privilege. What an inheritance. What a calling that God has chosen to express himself through his children. Correct? He is expressing himself through his children. And that child is known as the church. And it's interesting. We're just going to look at that expression of God because it has a human face. It really does. And it's called, he calls it an ecclesia. It's kind of like no name brand and no frills, you know? It's like there's no particular name on it. It's just an ecclesia. It's just a gathering, just an assembly, nothing special, except we are the children of God. That's what makes us special. The name, it's just a group put together, a gathering, literally here, an assembly. And so in some ways, that's the name that we actually took. We said, you know what? We need to get rid of church because no one knows what it is really anymore. It's been interpreted many different ways, and we need to get back to its roots. It's really a gathering, and it's called, we called it the Bridge Gathering, because we're connecting community to Christ. That's our mission. That's what we're doing as an expression of God's love. So, you know, a totally traditional guy who used all the denominational names, you know, you make sure you get church in it and all these things. God has brought about a little switch where we said, you know what? That worked for 50 years or 100 years or maybe even 1,000 years, but you know what? No one cares anymore. And it's like, how can I minister to my grandkids? I look at my grandson, who's 13, and I just say, okay, what should church look like for him? And I need to get a church ready for him, okay? And it has nothing to do with what you believe. It has just setting up a different format, repackaging, adapting to the world in which we live as an expression of God. And so you start thinking about these things. The word church is an ecclesia, a called out company, an assembly. And wherever it's used in the Bible, it refers to people. It's always people. It can be a mob. Yes, sometimes church turns into that. It can be the children of Israel. It can be the body of Christ, most commonly, and that's the one we identify with, the body of Christ. It's called a body here. Ephesians 1:22 says, God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the ecclesia, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. There's a great definition of the expression of God through the church, isn't it? He fills everything in every way through the children of God. That's what Christ wants to do. He just wants to permeate everything in the world through us. That's outstanding. But we know in human history, the church has been misconstrued as a building. Pastor Dave mentioned that this morning, as an institution, the Holy Catholic Church, the Church of England, as a denomination, the Church of Christ, and on and on and on, okay? In each of these interpretations, it's too easy to lose track of the simplicity of what it really is, of who we really are, a true gathering of people who are like the ones in Acts 2. Okay, Acts 2, and you guys all know these verses. I'll pick out like verse 42. I want to be an Acts 2:42 Christian who does what? Well, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. That's not complicated. But wow, when you look sometimes at what we do in our churches, doesn't it look complicated? I know it feels complicated as a pastor. And it's like, oh man, I've got to watch over all of these things that are going on. And it's like, you know, it's really more simple than that. The expression of God to the world is the frequent gathering of believers to express their worship and devotion through obedience to the commands that he gave us. If you love me, keep my commands. And how great the Father's love that he's lavished on us, that we should be called the children of God. Now, the expression of God not only has a human face, but it has a go-to purpose. You know, many times we think as Christians, come here, Pastor Dave. You know, like our main, it seems, mission is like, we got to get people to come in and hear Dave, you know, which is a great thing. There's no doubt about it. But come to our church. Come to this just as one place, you know, where you can meet with Dave and meet with God. And all that is good. But is that really what Jesus said, that you should all come to one particular place? You know, it's interesting that from the temple, where did the Christians go? As a matter of fact, that didn't even get really comfortable, the temple, for very long. The temple is more a public place, you know, where anybody could be there. And but where the Christians really made the difference was actually outside, when they went outside, and everywhere that they went, they made an impact as the children of God. You know, John 17, 15 to 18 says, "My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I'm not of it. Sanctify them by truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world." You know, there's a few things. Protect them, sanctify them, send them. Okay, that just stands out in these verses here. And which talks of, there's like two callings. You're called out of the world by his saving power and his grace to save us from our sins. And then you're called to reach the world. You're called back into that world. That's your mission. There's like two callings that God effects. One he does completely, and the other you participate in. We participate in. And of course, Matthew 28, "Go ye therefore," I love the old King James there, just "go ye therefore, and into all the, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the ends of the world." Go to. Okay, not to come to one particular place, but go to, you know. And so, dear gathering of God's people this morning, how are we doing with that? If we could just, you know, be honest with ourselves for a few minutes, how are we doing with that? Well, in honesty, maybe not so good. All of us, not so good. You know, our numbers are generally in decline as Christians, okay? As a group of evangelical Christians, we're in decline according to overall statistics. We are decreasing as a percentage of the overall population. Church buildings have characteristically for sale signs on them or are run down and not well cared for. It seems that we don't know what to do about it. It seems. So the expression of God has a go-to purpose. And if we're not fulfilling our mission, we're probably not impacting people as we should. The expression of God has a key intention. It was intended to be relational. Children of God, we are. We are an assembly of believers called out of the world and called back to reach the world. We are in relationship to one another. We're the body of Christ imagery throughout the scripture. We are a body. You know, when we become believers, we're no longer individuals. We are part of the body of Christ. When you get married, you're no longer individuals. You're part of a new entity, brand new. You're seen as one in Christ. Believers are not seen as individuals. There's no room for individual agendas, only the agenda of God and of Christ and the mission that he's called us to. We should move as a body, as an expression of his love to the world. Acts 2, 46 to 47, the rest of Acts 2. "Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God, enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved." Now, something just kind of jumps out at me in those verses, in its simplicity. They met together daily, every day, and the Lord added daily to their number. Now, it seems that the equation is such that every time they met, the Lord did something. Now, think about that in relation to our own what we do as believers. How often do we meet together? You know, I don't know the statistics of this congregation, but I do know, generally speaking, the average Christians out there and churches, just average, middle of the road, even churches that are filled and doing well, people come to church typically maybe only 2 times a month. They miss that many times of gathering together as a body. You know, what's wrong with this picture? Because there's hockey, there's all kinds of sports things taking place, someone gets sick, something disrupts all of that. You know, the number of meeting times is so small. And so the number of the Lord adding daily to the meetings is going to be also very small. You know, we just don't meet enough. We don't gather enough. There are not enough opportunities to impact the world as expressions of who we are. Does that make any sense to you? Do you sort of see that same relationship? Is it true or is it not true? If it's true, you know, then maybe we can do something about it if we can see it and if we can adjust it in some way and ask God to help us. I'm not saying it's easy. You know, we live in a crazy world, okay? It gets crazier all the time. But we somehow have to swim upstream and against the current, which broad is the way that leads to destruction and narrow is the way that leads to life. It's not supposed to be easy. It's going to be hard. So the number of meetings actually resulted in more of God's work actually taking place. And here's some hard questions to kind of close off this section here, this partnering with Dave a little bit this morning. I know we need to ask. I've asked myself these questions and had to struggle and wrestle with them as Jacob did, perhaps, with the angel of the Lord. Would it be too bold to draw the conclusion that our meetings are too few and the expression of God as a gathering of believers too inconsistent? Too few, too inconsistent to connect with lost people and communicate the message of God's saving power. Would it be too bold to say that? And then to say, you know, that's true. It's true of me. You know, it's true of our church. Okay, first of all, we have to face the hard facts, don't we? Would it be too strong a statement that there is very little time to develop meaningful relationships with other believers? The fact of the expression of God through the church was intended to be relational, and yet we have very little time to do that. And so we know everyone in our church, but we really don't have a relationship with very few. Think about it. Who could you say is really a close friend where you could share some intimate things with? And it would be okay. Would never be spoken of or passed on. There'd be this mutual understanding of respect for each other that we're both fallible human beings and we're finding our way by God's grace. Have you experienced that kind of a relationship, authentic Christianity, with someone else? Maybe not. Maybe not even in 10 years of attending a church, or 15 or 20 or 30, maybe. And that's a tragedy, isn't it? You know, so how can we change up some of those things to bring back the really critical aspects of the Acts 2 believers? They continued in fellowship and in communion. Real fellowship. Whoa. That's beautiful. And it is amazing. And it's like you can't keep people from getting together to have real fellowship when it takes place and real sharing. So if we only spend an hour a week in a gathering of believers where one person does all the talking, I'm not being critical here, but is that a meaningful relationship? We just have to ask myself that question. Could we do it better in some way? Could we do more than just what we're doing? All that we're doing is good. Nothing wrong with it. Proclaim the word of God. You know, to listen, to take it in and learn something is great. But whenever we meet together, there should be some sort of connection of a meaningful and a building and a nurturing of a meaningful relationship. Because that's the true expression of the church, and that's what they had. So what are we missing? You know, what are we missing? We seem to just be missing the passion for an Acts 2 type of church today. You know, we just kind of have sort of missed that aspect. We've gravitated into something that's comfortable and it works fine, but it doesn't produce the fruit that we really need and we really should be producing as believers. So can we be brave enough and courageous enough to rethink how we do our church? and creative enough, because God gave us his creative design and capability. You saw it in expression of creation itself. God gives us the ability to adapt and to move and to penetrate the world in effective ways. He does. And so we have to take up that challenge. We really do. And we've never had more resources to work with than our age in which we live. We've got tools at our disposal. We have financial resources. We have things ourselves. It's unbelievable what we have and we don't use for God's glory. We just don't use them. And so, Jane and I, as a Christian couple, we've committed to the Lord to use our health and our strength and time that God gives us for as long as we're on this earth, our home, our cars, you know, to nurture relationships with lost people, with saved people, to reach out and build, increase the number of meeting times that Christians will gather together to present the good news to others, to build small groups everywhere that we can possibly do it, to help people who have a burden for doing this, have a commitment for this, are willing to take on the challenge of some extra time to see how God can work and bless these things. I'm not saying it's a magic formula here, but it just seems to be a fact. If we don't meet, if we don't get together, if we don't nurture authentic Christian relationships, the Lord will not add to this number, and we will decline. And that, what a tragedy. Because the power of God is available to be drawn upon and to work. But we don't give them the opportunity. Maybe that's just what it seems to be the missing piece. Give them the opportunity. So how are we doing this? One, we're partnering with churches who desire to be Acts 2 ecclesias. You need to want to be an Acts 2 ecclesia. And you may not want to be that. But you have to know what you want to be in your own heart. We're looking for believers who will commit to using their homes as a meeting place to proclaim the good news, the gospel, the truth, the word of God. It'll go forth in another spot with a group of believers committed to proclaiming it. Okay? It may be two or three couples, you know, 6 to 12 people in a group that can become a dynamic and powerful witness, another opportunity and place for God to work. Wow. We're multiplying our opportunities if we do this. We're looking for people who are gifted as facilitators of discussion. You don't need to have a theology degree. You need to be a student of God's Word. Do you read your Bible? Okay. Then you can you speak? You know, can you speak in a way that you don't annoy people, or that you don't, it's all about you talking and you don't let anybody else talk? Well, sometimes you have to learn those skill sets. We will train you, okay, to do that, so you can be a good facilitator of discussion, so people can interact, ask questions, and learn about who God is. What an awesome thing to happen. Okay, we need more of that. We are looking for people who will invite someone to come to their meeting. There are some people who are just good at inspiring others to get on board and do something different. Take up some new opportunity. Meet at someone's home. Put on a video series that asks some serious questions about life by really competent speakers who are well-organized, the material's well-organized. It's like, wow, it can be so stimulating and interesting and challenging. That's all we need, you know? That's all we need. There was nothing here that is so complicated that not every person could fill one of those roles. What if every person at Sarnia Evangelical Missionary Church was engaged in something like this? You know, participants rather than spectators. You know, we can't afford to be just spectators. We have to be participants. You know, A few, Pastor Dave and Amanda cannot do it all, and some of your other leaders cannot do it all. We love to appoint leaders and say, you do it. But nothing could be further from the truth. They're not the ones. Everyone, all of those called the children of God are the ones called to be expressions of God in the community. Every last person who knows he's a child of God. Now, granted, if you don't know you're a child of God, you know, this would be foreign. But if you know you're a child of God, what are you doing to be an expression of God? Now, what are you doing? And what can you do, and would you be willing to do if God gave you that opportunity? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are called the children of God. And how great the love the Father has lavished upon us. You know, help us not to be so selfish that we took all that love when we believed on you as our Savior, but we don't give it out. We love to be loved, but we don't want to love somebody else. Because if we did, we would be looking for the people to love. We'd be seeking them out. There are so many unloved people in this world that need some love. Would God lay it on our hearts to start loving people more? Stop loving ourselves so much and love people more. We can't afford to be selfish, and it's no joy in it anyway. But we get so filled with joy when we spend time loving other people. Wow, it fills our lives with meaning and purpose and joy. What could be better than giving up what we have and taking up what Jesus wants us to do? God, thank you for this church. Thank you for Pastor Dave and his vision of what this church can do in the future. You know, this church can take the love of Christ to many, many places. It just is going to take some more time out of our lives. And it's going to take some consistency and commitment. Are we willing to step up to that? It won't be easy work, but it will be joyful work. God, how can we do this and be real and be authentic Acts 2 believers? In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Pastor.
Well, really appreciate just Cecil's just perspective and the opportunity to learn along with him, and we'll continue to unfold this over the next several weeks and months. And that's what this, as we gather on Wednesday evenings here during the period of Lent, that's what we're praying towards. How can God continue to move this expression through us into our community? In fact, in keeping with this artistic theme that we've been on for these last 7 weeks, I kind of drew a diagram to describe what this all this looks like. Will, do you want to just show that? Thanks. So there's some of my artwork for you. So there's where we have been, some of the mentality that we possess. If I just get people to come to a building, I get people to come to a service, then that's where they meet Jesus. Well, that's still important. But ultimately, the other side of that is, what do we do as we engage the community around us? And a lot of these things we've learned quite well over the last several years. And we are engaged in several different aspects in our community and around the world. And that's good. But what's next? And this is really important, the idea of connecting with people on a consistent basis so that we can see what God is doing in our various neighborhoods, in our workplaces, in our schools, and our teams and things like that, because we are all people moving along in different places in our community. Those aren't competition for what we want to do. Those are actually the avenues, the mission field to which God has first called us. And so as we consider the Great Commission to go into all the world starts here. This is the place on the dot on the map that, in which it starts. And so how can we get engaged with that? And you're going to have opportunity to do just that over these next several weeks. And so just as we, can you just put that last slide up for me, Will, please? And so every week we kind of give you a little bit of a challenge. And so this week I want you to just read through this passage. Would you pray through it? Would you read through it? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 to 21. In light of the fact that God lavished his love upon us, he then calls us to be his ambassadors, the ones who are his representatives in our community. And that is so important because there are so many people all around us. In fact, all of us at one time were one of those people. And until we come face to face with the truth of Christ, the presence of Christ, the person of Jesus Christ, we don't realize how deep the love of God really is for us. And so would you take that challenge up as you learn to express the love of God as his ambassador to those around us?